Amen. Please be seated and turn again to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Last Lord's Day, we introduced a new sermon series on the Psalms of David by considering Paul's teaching in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. This afternoon, we begin our study of the Psalter. You will note that the Psalter opens with two psalms without a title. Then we have Psalm 3 with a title, a psalm of David. This is not random or a coincidence, but is the construction of a preface to the Psalter. Christopher Ashe, in his introduction to the Psalter, gives five reasons why this is a preface. First reason, the omission of a title in the first two creates a distinction between Psalm 1 and 2 and Psalm 3 and 4 and 5 and following. This forms an inclusive section. Secondly, look at the word blessed. Psalm 1 enters, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 2 ends, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Again, it creates an inclusive section. Three, the way of life is a key theme in both, with Psalm 1:6, the way of the righteous and the ungodly, and Psalm 2, verse 12, speaking of the way of the ungodly who do not believe in the King. Fourthly, the word meditation is used in both Psalms. In Psalm 1, the meditation is considering God's word. In Psalm 2, verse 1, translated imagine, is the same word meditates. They meditate a vain thing. Fifthly, both Psalms are theological summaries of the entire Old Testament. There is the blessedness of the covenant God. There is the Lord's anointed Son and King. There is living by obedience to God's law. There is the wisdom of living either the way of the righteous or the way of the ungodly. And there's also the great day of judgment in view. And these arguments and more suggest this is a preface to the entire Psalter. This means that the preface informs us of the two main themes, both in life in general and in the Psalter in particular. And the main themes are this: the way of life and blessedness is through the Lord's word and the Lord's Son. The Lord's word reveals truth, God himself, the way of salvation, holy living. The Lord's Son is the fountain of all spiritual blessedness, and our only hope is to trust in the Lord's Son. That's a summary of Christianity. That's the summary of all true religion. And when you read the entire 150 Psalms, this is the message throughout. And so we begin the entire Psalter by looking at blessedness through the Lord's Word. And in Psalm 1, I want you to consider three things. One, the way of Christ. Two, the way of the righteous. And three, the way of the ungodly. First of all then, the way of Christ. Psalm 1 is presenting two ways. The way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. There's not a third path, there's not a third road. It's either or. We are either walking on the path of righteousness or we are walking on the path of ungodliness. As we know in Scripture, all men descended from Adam are by nature in sin and so walk on the path of ungodliness. So how can any of us sinners transfer from the path of ungodliness to the path of righteousness? The answer is through the blessed man whose obedience is the way to God. The voice, the speech of Psalm 1 is first of all Jesus Christ. When we sing Psalm 1, the word of Christ is dwelling in our hearts. And when you look at the language closely, the good and necessary consequence, the first emphasis is an individual. Where do we see that? First of all, blessed is the man. It's not blessed as a man, it is blessed as the man with a definite article. And man here is singular. But if you contrast that with the parallel of the ungodly in verse 4, ungodly is actually in the plural. Blessed is the man, singular. Parallel, the ungodly, plural, are not so. Now this in and of itself is no proof, because wisdom literature also uses the singular to simply use the general form. Jeremiah 17, blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. It's just saying anyone, man, woman, child, blessed is anyone who puts their trust in the Lord. But wisdom literature uses the parallel, singular, singular, plural, plural. For example, Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man that hears me, but he that sinneth against me. Singular, singular. But here we don't have blessed is the man, singular, general wisdom. And then verse 4, the ungodly, singular, the parallel. We don't have that. Blessed is the man, singular, parallel, the ungodly, plural. So it's not wisdom language here. It's speaking to an individual man in contrast to plural men. Secondly, note the theological link between Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. Blessed is the one who abstains from sin and who delights and meditates on the law of God. And in Psalm 2, we are blessed by trusting in the Lord's King. And if you understand and remember the law of God, these two are put together in Deuteronomy 17, where God says, what kind of king should rule in his nation? Deuteronomy 17, 18, it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, and it shall be with him. He shall read therein all the days of his life, and he shall learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. Christopher Ashe again. As we begin the Psalms, we seek the Psalm 2 King, who will be the righteous man of Psalm 1, the covenant-keeping King who lives a life of wisdom. This King will be to his people their wisdom, their righteousness, and the guarantor of covenant blessing. And note thirdly, the source. The word blessed means blessed because of something you do. Blessed is the man who does something. He abstains from sin, he delights in the law, and he's a fruitful, prosperous tree. And then in Psalm 2, blessed if you trust in him. And so it's saying the source of divine blessing is for all they, plural, who trust in him, singular, the Lord's Son. And blessed is the man, singular, who obeys, keeps the law, and abstains from sin. And so at first, the man of wisdom, the man of obedience, the man who's separate from sin, the man who is also the Lord's anointed king, he is blessed. And then when we trust in him, we receive his blessedness, and in virtue of union with him, we will walk as he walks, and we will be the blessed man of Psalm 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So when we begin with Psalm 1, whose voice are you hearing? Whose word are you singing that dwells in your heart? It is the voice and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Psalm 1 is gospel. Psalm 1 is Jesus Christ, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, as he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. He is the blessed man who delights in the meditation of the law of God. As a young child looked to, he grows in spirit, grows in wisdom, grows in the ways of the Lord. He is the man of Isaiah 50, whose ears are opened by the Father, morning by morning, to hear the voice of God speak in the Bible, delight and meditate and perfectly obey. And he is that tree planted by a river which is full of fruit. And there's no allusion to Psalm 1 in heaven. In Revelation 22, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there's the tree of life, which bears fruit, and the leaf is the healing of the nations. And so Christ is this blessed man, and when we put our trust in him, he blesses us with his blessedness and gives us the Holy Spirit, so in union with him, we walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. We delight in the law of the Lord. And we are planted by the river. And we become fruitful and prosperous. This is our gospel psalm. And since this is the voice of Christ, he's preaching through this psalm. Choose which way you're going to walk on. The way of the righteous or the way of the ungodly. This is the language of Matthew chapter 7. How did the Sermon on the Mount begin again? The blessed life. Blessed are the pure in spirit. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are thy who meek. How does the Psalter open? The blessed life. And what does Jesus say in Matthew 7? There's only two ways. Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So Jesus Christ in Psalm 1 is preaching the gospel, the blessed life. The blessed life is in the way of the righteous, but misery and judgment to the way of the ungodly. Choose ye this day which way you will walk. What path, what road? Do you want the wide road that everyone's on? Do what you want, when you want, how you want. Look at the destination, judgment. Perishing, destruction. Or do you want the narrow way? My way. The way of the Word. The way of holiness. The way of blessedness. So if you put your trust in the blessed man Jesus, you are on the way of the righteous. And you are, and you will be, Psalm 1. But if you choose the way of the godly, you will be led to eternal destruction. Let us all, by the grace of God, put our trust in the blessed man and walk in the way of the righteous. Which brings us, secondly, to that very path. The way of the righteous. This is everyone who's put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word blessed here, as we've already intimated, is the idea of blessed because you're doing something, because of action. Some people translate this happiness, and I understand why they're doing that. But because happiness is so superficial, it's not a good translation. Happiness is so dependent on fleeting things. Happiness is so skin deep. This is a joy that's deeper, richer. The word blessed here means to attain, complete, and continual joy through right action. The idea is this. You live according to God's will, and God gives us complete, continual joy. That's the word here. There's another Hebrew word that often we bless God, but this word's never used towards God. That's because God does not need to attain anything. He is eternally and unchangeably blessed, joyful. But man needs to attain this because of sin and misery. And two examples just to show you. Psalm 146 verse 5. Blessed is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So when you hope in the Lord and you seek your help only in the God of Jacob, you'll be blessed, joyful, continually and completely. Or Psalm 119 verse 1, same word. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So when you live your life according to the word of God, he grants this complete and continual joy. And this is something Jesus himself promised in the gospel. John 15:11. Previous verses say, pray, keep his commandments, and abide in his love. And then verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And so when we trust in the Lord, and we pattern, shape, and fashion our lives according to the word, and do it, Christ's blessedness, Christ's joy, complete and continued joy, is with the believer. And so if you do not experience, in some sense, the joy of the Lord, you should stop and ask yourself, am I living according to God's will? And if anyone is not living according to the will of the Lord, they can never, ever, ever receive this kind of blessings. A fleeting happiness here, a superficial pleasure there, but it goes away. But this blessedness, you can be afflicted, you can be tempted, you can be persecuted. But if you're in the will of the Lord, praying, trusting, hoping, depending on him, you will have this complete and continual joy. But this blessing comes from a certain lifestyle. And it begins negatively in verse 1 with holy living. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. Though the word's not used here, it's speaking of holiness. Holiness means separation from the world and purity of life. And so the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Walking means your life conduct. Counsel, your thinking, your understanding, your plans, your purposes. So the blessed man is not conformed to this world, but is transformed by the renewing of the mind. The world seeks earthly pleasure and contentment. The blessed man does not. The world thinks of the flesh, of life, which is full of pride and reputation and riches. But the blessed man says, I love the Father and not the things of the world. I deny the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The blessed man also does not stand in the way of sinners. Stand here means to accept. The way of sinners is the practice of sin. This doesn't mean here that someone is sinless, but he will not live a life of practicing sin. 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now you read that, you're probably terrified. But you have to bring out the Greek here. These are present continuous tenses. I'll read it again. Whoever is born of God does not continually practice sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot remain continually sinning. Because the blessed man hates sin, the blessed man repents of sin, the blessed man's mortifying sin, the blessed man is seeking to grow in holiness. The blessed man is Luke 14, forsaking sin. This is the action and the lifestyle of sinners contrary to God. I am not going to live as they live. I'm going to live according to the word of God. I am forsaking sin and I'm separating myself from a life of sin. And the third sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This is not just thinking, nor accepting or doing. This is someone entrenched. This is a state now. Scornful is mocking and laughing at the things of God. This is making a joke out of holy living according to the morality and teaching of the Word of God. This is the 2 Peter 3, scorning and laughing at the second coming, and therefore eating and drinking, making merry, and living the life to please your flesh. And so the blessed man says, Proverbs 4:14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. The blessed man is the man of Psalm 26, 4 to 5. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will not live a life of sin. I will not tolerate sinful thoughts, sinful actions, or even laughing and mocking at sin. I take holiness seriously. I repent when I do sin. And I seek God's will and grace to live a life that's pleasing to him. Which means the blessed man watches and prays lest he enters into temptation. Look at the declension here. Walking, standing, sitting. You're walking down the street and your head turns into a window. Something sinful. You stop, you stand, you consider. Then you go inside and you sit. The picture here. And so the blessed man is a man who takes heed to Jesus' word. Watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. He's a man or a woman praying to the Lord. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I do not even tolerate the thoughts of sin. I have them because I'm a sinner, but I will not enjoy them. I sometimes do things which are sin, but I don't tolerate them. I repent of them. I seek forgiveness of them. And I know if I even tolerate the walking, the next thing you know, I'm standing, and before you know it, even then, I'm sitting in the seat of the scoffer. And so the blessed man or the blessed woman abstains from the practice of sin and separates their thoughts, their words, and their deeds from the world. And therefore, with holy self-denial, they're blessed of the Lord. Is that you? Maybe there's something in your life where you're walking or standing. Beware. Because before you know it, you're sitting. Maybe you're winking at a particular sin right now. Maybe you're never acting on it or even speaking about it, but you're delighting in it in your mind and imagination. Except you mortify, except you put that to death, you're going to be standing practicing it. And if you tolerate that even further, you're going to be sitting in the seat of the scoffer. So let myself, let us all abstain and flee from sin. But the positive is given here in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Here we have the law, the Torah. Torah means direction, instruction. And it can be used generally just for scripture. What do the scriptures principally teach? What we are to believe concerning God and what God requires of man. So all of the Bible is Torah, God's word, which reveals, instructs, and directs us. Or it can be more narrow in speaking of the moral law of God, the Decalogue, which summarizes God's direction and instruction on holy living. I don't really think that we should make a choice here. I think it should just be both and. And the blessed man delights in the law. There are different words for delight or pleasure in the Bible. This is probably the one with the most emotion involved. Others might focus on the disposition of the will, but this word actually, more than others, has the idea of emotion of delight. And surely we don't even need to understand that. Surely we all know what it means to have the emotion of delight and joy and pleasure. And it says here, the blessed man has the affection of delight and pleasure in God's law. Psalm 119 again and again and again speaks of this delight. Psalm 119 verse 16. Because as Christians, we don't only believe the word of God, we delight in the word of God. Psalm 119:16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 24. Thy testimonies are my delight. And you could go through Psalm 119 and find many more forms. When Paul's struggling with indwelling sin, when he's struggling with the willingness to will which is good in in Romans chapter 7, he reveals though that he is born again and regenerate. Why? With what language? Romans 7:22. I delight in the law of God after the inner man. So the blessed man or woman has the emotion of delight and pleasure in the law. Because the law is revealing God himself, God's nature, God's persons, God's works, God's will. And the born-again Christian does not simply believe and know and understand, but has pleasure in the Lord's will and words. Is that you? I hope you believe the Bible is the very word of God. But if you truly believe it's God's word, how can you have anything but delight and joy? What do you do during the week? You do whatever you enjoy. Simple as. Whatever you do during the week reveals what you take pleasure in. What takes your thoughts? What takes your time? When you have to deny lawful options to do one thing more than any other, that reveals your heart's delight and pleasure. And for every Christian, it ought to be, I delight in the word of the Lord. And what's the evidence the blessed man or woman delights in the law of the Lord? Meditation. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditate literally means to mutter. To mutter. To speak out loud in a soft voice. The idea is this. You go to the temple or you go to the synagogue. Because you don't have a copy of the Bible until about 150 years ago. And at the temple or at the synagogue, a priest or a prophet would read and teach the Torah, the Word of God. And so, you take that and you'll memorize it. You'll memorize it, and the way you do that is you'll speak out loud the words, so you're speaking and hearing. It becomes permanent through memorization, but then you're going to contemplate it to understand it in a deeper, richer level. And as you're muttering it out, contemplating, you're going to be using those words back to God in prayer, and you're going to be applying the practical consequences of that which you are muttering. This is meditation. And because the blessed man so enjoys the word, he's meditating day and night. Simply means when he has an opportunity in the day, he's meditating on the word of God. When he has time in the night, he's meditating on the word of God. David Dixon in his commentary says this, a man studieth holy communion with God by delighting and meditating in his word. He shall be fixed and furnished with the influence of grace from Christ for the entertaining of spiritual life in him. That's meditation, studying holy communion with God. And if someone's not meditating on the word of God, it's because they're not delighting in the word. And so if we are struggling to meditating, there may be lawful practical reasons why not, but the source of the reason is in the heart. We're not delighting in the word enough. And if we're not doing that, you must ask yourself, what else is taking the delight of your soul? What else in this world is taking up time and energy instead of meditating on the word of God? And so we as Christians need to either rearrange our lives or remove something in our lives. so that day and night, day after day, week and week, we have a joy in the Lord because the Word of God is God speaking, and I want to think and contemplate and apply in practice the Word of God. And when we do this, thirdly, we'll be a prosperous tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. So you have a tree planted, rooted and grounded in stability. There is rivers, flowing waters, ever giving him the influence and power to bear fruit. There is mature fruit in the season. There is also the leaf that does not fade, which means you have endurability, and you are prosperous. Because when we have faith in the blessed man Jesus, when we're delighting and meditating in the Word, we are trees planted by the river, and the Holy Spirit, with the influence of grace and power, is filling our soul with the will and the doing of the Lord, and there'll be fruitfulness in life. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of truth, the truth of obedience, the truth of doing the will of the Lord. And every single Christian will prosper. Guaranteed. Prosperity might not mean health and wealth, but your soul will prosper. 3 John. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Someone can be homeless and diseased and sick and lying in a hospital bed, but their soul can be abundantly prospering. And this is the blessed life. We abstain from the continual practice of sin by separating from the world, so that delighting in the Word and meditation, we live out God's will, God's way, and we will be full of the divine influences of the Spirit in union with Christ, and there'll be fruits of the Spirit in our life, and our soul will prosper in prayer and joy and love and patience and peace and long-suffering and meekness, and therefore there's complete, continual joy in the saint. This is the way of the righteous. But thirdly, the way of the ungodly. Verse 4. Ungodly here is in the plural. And often this word is translated wicked, and that's a good translation, but a bad reception. What I mean by that is, when anyone today hears the word wicked, we think people who do great evil. But this is anyone who does not trust in Jesus and live according to the Word of God. Psalm 50, verse 16. But unto the wicked, same word, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth? So people in the covenant, who speak about the Bible and have the sign and seal of the covenant, but they're hypocrites. Their hearts haven't repented and trusted in Jesus. They're referred to as wicked or the ungodly. So anyone in this earth, in the church or outside the church, who has not repented of their sin, trusted in Jesus Christ, and lived their life according to the Word of God, are ungodly and wicked. And God says, they are not so. They're not like verse 1, because they do walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They are thinking sinful things. They are delighting in it. They're standing in the way of sinners. They're continually practicing sin, and they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. They think true religion's a joke. They think living according to the word of God carefully is something to laugh at. Their delight is in the things of the world, not the Bible. They don't want to be in church. They don't want family worship. They don't want private Bible reading, because their delight is in other things. And they're barren. They don't have the fruit of the Spirit. They don't have the fruit flowing from union with Christ. They're barren. And therefore, they are like chaff which the wind drives away. That when you're in the shed and you get the fork and you scoop up the wheat, because the wheat is heavier, it will fall down to the ground, and the drafts of wind will take the light chaff and blow it away. It's vain and worthless and useless. Therefore, they will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. God's going to come and judge them, and they won't be able to stand before his holy righteousness, and they're going to be separated from the congregation of the righteous. The Psalm 1:1-3 people will be separated from the Psalm 1:4-6 people. And then verse 6, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Eternal destruction. This is the people John the Baptist preached against. In Matthew 3:12, people who were in the covenant but did not repent of their sins, he says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The ungodly are the people Jesus speaks about in the wheat and the tares. He says in Matthew 13:49, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and cast the wicked into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This is the way of the ungodly. This is the way of those who do not believe in the Blessed Son. To those who are on that wide path that thinks the world is the object of their joy, they want to live their life their way, this is their end. They'll be burned up in an eternal furnace of fire. And then the psalmist does not want us to forget the positive though. Verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Know here is not intellectual knowing, it's an experience of relationship. It is John 10:14. I am the good way, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. Because on the day you will be separated, brother and sister, separated from the wicked, and you'll be separated unto me, the Lord Jesus, and you'll be separated from all the curse, and all suffering, and all affliction, and all ungodliness, and you'll be separated unto God in Christ in heaven forever and ever and ever. And whatever blessedness, whatever continual, complete joy you've experienced in this world, it's nothing compared to the fullness of joy in the presence in the Lord in the celestial city for all eternity. And so this is an encouragement to me, and it's an encouragement to you. Resist temptation. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of scoffers. Come away. Make the delight of your soul the law of God. Meditate on it day and night, and Christ will make you fruitful and prosperous in your soul. And you will know me, even as I am known, 1 Corinthians 13, for all eternity. And so this is an encouragement to you, brother, and you, sister. but to anyone here who's in the church, but is not verse 1, is not verse 2, and is not verse 3, here's the warning: you're on the way to eternal destruction. But Christ is gracious, and the narrow way is before you. You can get on the way of righteousness anytime by turning from your sin and putting your trust in Jesus alone for all your salvation and blessedness, and walk as he walks. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, oh, how we trust only in the blessedness of the Lord's anointed Son. Fill us with the Spirit. May the rivers of water supply all the grace and virtue and strength we need, and cause us to be prosperous in all our ways. Lord, we confess our struggles and our sins, our distractions and our temptations concerning the Word of God. Please remove them. Increase our desire for the Word of God, and grant the freedom of the Spirit in daily contemplation of the Word of God.